Praise God. God bless Brother Claiborne. Amen. As he comes tonight.
Amen. Can we do that to Jesus right now just for a few seconds? Amen. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. You can remain standing just for a moment. Amen. I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord that we feel together in this house. How many are thankful that you can come to the house of God and feel this? Amen. I wonder if one more time, can we just lift our hands? Hallelujah. Jesus is here right now in this moment.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I believe God is calling us higher and God is calling us deeper. And I want to follow His will and His plan tonight. So I'm going to try to do that. And I pray and believe that God has something here for everybody. Whether you're a visitor, whether you're a saint, a regular saint of God here, I'm just going to go with what I feel. I'm just going to do my best to follow the Lord. And whatever you need here tonight, if you've come with something or you've come with questions in your mind, if you just make up in your heart now, God, whatever you want to say to me, whatever you want to do in my heart and in my mind, so be it. Not my will, but thy will be done. If you have that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude, I'm telling you, God can speak to you. Revelation can come into your heart and mind, and God can really change things. How many know that God's grace is sufficient? How many know God's grace is sufficient? Oh, I'm so thankful for His grace. He is enough. His grace is enough. Even when we don't feel like we are enough, His grace is enough. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. John chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. I'll give you just a minute to turn there. Amen. While you're turning there, just so honored to have my wife with me. I mentioned that this morning. Appreciate her so very much. And thank you to the music team, the singers, the choir. So beautiful. So wonderful that we get to experience that here. What a privilege to be together in the house of God. I give honor to your pastor and your bishop in their absence. Amen. John 3, 28 through 30. Amen. Oh, I feel the Lord here. Amen. I really feel the Lord here in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to wait on Him just for a moment. Just for a moment. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. There's someone here tonight. God sees you right where you are. I just feel to tell you that before we go any further. You're not invisible to God. God sees you right where you are. You're not forgotten by God. Your prayers are not hitting the ceiling. He's hearing them. He's been hearing you cry out to Him. He's been seeing your questions. He's been seeing the pain in your heart. He's been hearing your prayers. God's got your number tonight. God wants to help you. God wants to touch you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Amen. We're going to turn to the Word of the Lord. And I want to turn to actually the book of, John, chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. We're going to just move that aside. Sorry, media team, in advance for the confusion. Let's go to John 12, 28 through 30. John 12, 28 through 30. Thank you again for your patience letting me mix that up on you. Amen. The scripture says this: Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Look at your neighbor and say, for your sake. Look at your other neighbor and say, God is speaking for your sake. Amen. What I want to preach to us about tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost is simply this thought. I want to preach to you about the voice. I want to preach to you about the voice. One more time before you're seated, if you're going to help this preacher preach, would you put your hands together to Jesus, give him some praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I believe that there is a voice that speaks and is speaking to all of humanity. I'm going to say that again for those in the back, those that are still getting settled in your pew. I believe that there is a voice that speaks and is speaking to all of humanity. I believe that more people would hear this voice if they would not spend all their effort and all their time trying to drown it out. Humans will spend copious amounts of time and money in an effort to drown this voice out. And humanity can try to drown out the voice with relationships, with money, careers, jobs, recognition, fame, addiction, entertainment, and various other mind-altering substances, drugs, alcohol, you name it. You can try to drown out the voice with all kinds of different methods. However, I do not believe that this voice can ever truly be stifled by our methods. Let's say that again for those in the back. No matter how hard we try, amen, I don't believe that this voice can ever truly be stifled by our own methods. No matter how hard we try, there will always be a voice telling us that there has got to be something more to this life than just money, than just possessions, than just careers, than just relationships, than just a 9-to-5, than just addictions, or just an average relationship or a distant relationship with God. No matter how hard we try, there will always be something nagging at us, always be something pushing at us, always be something pulling at us saying, sir, ma'am, there is something more to your existence. There is something more to your life. There is more that God wants to do in you. There is more that God wants to do with you. Maybe you don't even know the Lord. Maybe you've never been filled with His Spirit. There's a voice telling you that He wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. And no matter how hard you try to satisfy yourself with other things, you will be never satisfied until you come to know the speaker of that voice. You will never be satisfied until you come to know the voice of the one who has been speaking to you. And this is not usual for me for a Sunday night. And I know this is a wonderful, powerful, mature church. So I know that you know that I am reaching for somebody in the Spirit tonight. Let me just go ahead and just lay it bare and make it plain from the beginning. I believe that on a Sunday night, there are people here. Maybe you were here this morning and you've come back for more of Jesus. God bless you. God's going to reward you for that. Maybe you weren't here this morning, but you're here tonight. And you know that something's been nagging on you. Something's been pulling on you. Something's been making you uncomfortable, honestly. It hasn't been easy to carry. It's been kind of uncomfortable. But listen, that uncomfortableness, that very void you feel in your heart, that very emptiness, that feeling that there has to be something more, that's not just thunder. It's not just happenstance. It's not just coincidence. But that is the very voice of God speaking to you, sir, speaking to you, ma'am, letting you know that there's something more. There's something more. There's something more to your life. And there's something more and something greater and bigger that God wants to do in your heart.
The voice is speaking. It's speaking. It's speaking across the world, even as I am speaking here tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, records the upbringing of a young man named Samuel. Samuel was raised in the temple, and he was being mentored by a high priest named Eli. And those of us know the story, I'm paraphrasing, but basically Samuel heard a voice in the night, and he did not realize who or what it was, and he assumed that it was the voice of Eli. And so he ran to Eli and said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "Boy, it's late, it's early in the morning, don't bother me, go back to bed." And it must have just been something you ate. And so Samuel goes back to bed, and this happens, and Samuel goes to Eli, "Eli, did you call me?" And this happens till finally Eli realizes that this is not just thunder and it's not just happenstance, but there's a voice that's speaking to Samuel for his sake. And the voice, of course, is not Eli's voice, and it's not just somebody singing outside in the early hours of the morning, but Eli realized that this was the voice of God trying to get this young man Samuel's attention. But verse 7 tells us that the reason Samuel did not yet recognize the voice of God, the reason why he was confused, verse 7 tells us, was because he did not yet know the Lord. He did not yet know the Lord. Listen, so many times you've probably seen this, I've seen this, when people begin hearing the voice before they even realize what it is or who it is, amen, it just begins to stir something in them. It wakes them up at night like it did Samuel. And I've seen this happen all the time. People who maybe aren't religious, people who really maybe know a little bit about God but not much, don't really go to church all that often or whatever, you know, they begin to feel this tugging and this pulling. And so what they do is they run to the person that they believe is most closely connected to the voice. They run to the person that they think would maybe have something figured out or have access to this voice. For example, they run to a praying grandmother. They say, "Grandma, you know I'm not really a Christian and I don't really believe, but some weird stuff's been happening to me lately, and I know you pray and you believe in all that stuff, so would you pray for me?" They run to a praying aunt. They run to a praying uncle. They run to a friend that they know is connected to the supernatural. Even though they don't even know what's happening, they're trying to find the source of who and what is speaking to them. They're trying to find someone that they believe could be connected to the voice, connected to the supernatural. But the reason Samuel didn't know the voice is because he did not yet know the Lord. And I've just come to preach to somebody, even if it's two people in the house tonight. Can I tell you, just because you don't recognize the voice does not mean the voice has not been speaking to you. Just because you don't recognize the voice does not mean the voice has not been speaking to you. I'm going to tell you again, the chasm of emptiness you feel, that nagging that there has to be something more, that is the voice. That is the voice itself. It is not just thunder. It is not just coincidence. But the voice of God is speaking and pulling and changing things for your sake. Can I preach to you? Stop trying to drown out the voice when he begins speaking. Hallelujah. Stop trying to fill that void with things other than God. Don't think that God isn't speaking just because you don't recognize it yet. You may not know the Lord yet, but once you know the Lord of that voice, you will realize that God was speaking to you the entire time. When you thought he left you, no, he was speaking. When you thought that he was nowhere to be found, no, God was still speaking. You just didn't know it yet because you don't yet know the Lord. You don't yet recognize his voice. But if you come to him and surrender yourself to him, then you can come to know the God of the voice that has been speaking to you. He has not left you lonely. He has not betrayed you. He has not ditched you. He has been speaking to you. You just don't recognize his voice yet because you don't know him yet like you could know him. Oh, somebody praise him right now. He's speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking. Amen. So many times people don't even realize they'll try to take material things or earthly pleasures or entertainment or different things, and they have this nagging that there's got to be something more to my life. And instead of following that to its logical conclusion, instead of chasing and pursuing that and trying to find the answers, there's some people that just drown it out. They just drown out that nagging. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to feel that uncomfortability. Amen. So they just drown it out with entertainment. They drown it out maybe with drugs or relationship or busyness or just careers. There's nothing wrong with a good career, anything like that. But if that's getting in the way, if you're using that to numb, if you're using that to drown out a voice that's been nagging on you, hallelujah, can I tell you again, that is the very voice of God speaking to you. Amen. I'll never forget, I worked with some people years ago. I worked at a cell phone store when I was in Bible college. Had to work two jobs to pay for Bible college and pay my bills. And I worked at Sprint selling phones and selling cell service. And it was really hard. I had to be a really good salesman because I had to convince people to buy a service that didn't work very well. So I did my best, put my best salesman face on. And if you're here and you have Sprint tonight, we can have a support group afterwards. You can come and pray. We'll pray for you. I've got Sprint too, so I'll be weeping with you. Amen. But so I worked at this store, and I'll never forget two of the individuals that I worked with. We got to talking, and they asked me, and they were talking about what their favorite television shows were. And these were younger men. These are men who had been divorced tragically, sadly, and in one case, certainly not fault of his own. And their life had been just turned upside down by sin and by living away from God. They weren't Christians. They weren't apostolics. And I did my best every day there to be a witness to them. But we were sitting around one day, and they began to talk about their favorite television shows. And they asked me what my favorite television show was. And I didn't mean it to sound cheeky at all. And I just said, you know, I really don't have one. I said, I actually wasn't raised with one. I just went outside and just played Cowboys and Indians and used my imagination and I didn't grow up with one, so I don't know any of that stuff. And their eyes grew as big as plates, like a lot of people do when I tell them that. You didn't grow up with one. And they say, man, I don't know how you did that. I couldn't live without my television. And they were being serious, and we were kind of joking around, but the conversation took a serious turn. And they began to say, no, really. They said, I cannot live without my television. One of these men was a man in his mid-30s. And they said, because if I don't have that television, especially when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, they said, I have to basically have that as my babysitter. I have to have that as my white noise. Because if I don't have that playing constantly, especially as I'm trying to sleep, they said, my thoughts will begin to plague me, and my thoughts will begin to attack me. Those thoughts that says there's got to be something more to life than this. Those thoughts that say, surely there's more than just my 9-to-5 and going home and then just falling asleep to the blue light of the television. I didn't want to deal with those thoughts, so I put that television on. It's always playing in my home, and I cannot go to sleep without it. I cannot even be alone with my own thoughts unless I have that television playing. And I'll never forget that conversation, because I realized in that moment that they did not realize that what they were doing is they were actually drowning out the voice that was trying to tell them that there is something more to life than this. They were actually drowning out the voice, that emptiness, which is the very thing that can lead them to something more, that very thing that can lead them to Christ. Can I preach to somebody here today? If you can't even, and I'm not saying this to be ugly, God wants to help somebody. If you can't be alone with your own thoughts because of fear of what your thoughts might say, if you can't be alone with your own thoughts because your past is so gnarly and so messed up and you haven't yet found forgiveness and redemption for it, you haven't yet been baptized or repented at an altar, if you can't even be alone with your own thoughts, can I tell you that is not the will of God. God wants to help somebody. God wants to set somebody free. God wants to deliver you and bring you to a place where you can actually be at peace with God in your own mind and at peace with God in your own heart. That's what God wants to accomplish today. There's some of us under the sound of my voice, you are not right now currently at peace with God. Listen, God can give you peace. God can connect you to Him. You can be at peace with God. You can make peace with God before you leave the house of God tonight. You don't have to keep living the same way. You don't have to keep living average. You don't have to keep living distant. You don't have to keep living in shame. You don't have to keep living in in fear of God. He wants to give you more. He wants you to know his voice. Come on, somebody. I believe that we could change the world if we all could know the voice of God. I believe we could change the world if we all could recognize what the voice of God sounds like. But to do that, we're going to have to get some clutter out of our lives. We're going to have to get some other voices out of our life. We're going to have to get some noise out of our life. We're going to have to get rid of the white noise and go and get alone with God and let him speak to us and love us and transform us. Somebody praise him. I believe God's been nagging on some of you. I believe God's been pursuing and chasing after some of you. There's some that maybe I'm preaching to that maybe you come every now and then. And if I could just be brutally honest, and I got one more service, I'm leaving tomorrow. So if I, you know, mess something up, Pastor Copeland can fix it when he gets home. Just know Brother Claiborne loves you. But maybe you're here and you come every now and then, but you know in your heart of hearts that you're kind of on the fringes. You know in your heart of hearts that you kind of tap dance on the line, and you like what you feel here, and you want the things of God, and that's beautiful and wonderful. But then you also have another foot over here, and you're so focused on determined on these other things that are not of God. And so you're kind of on the fringes, and you're kind of just hanging out on the sidelines, coming here and there, and you haven't yet fully married the church. You haven't yet fully married Christ as well. Can I tell you that I believe the voice of God has been speaking to you as well, trying to pull you higher and pull you deeper and take you further in him. There's some people that you've just kind of had this casual approach to Christ, but can I tell you that if you would start to take some of these things seriously, that God could actually use you as a preacher, as a man of God, as a woman of God? Come on, there are probably callings and anointings and talents and abilities in you that you don't even realize because you haven't taken this seriously, because you haven't listened for the voice of God, because you've had more of a casual approach, and God's not looking down in hatred. God's not looking down in disgust. He's looking down and saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come up higher. Come on, I'm talking to you. I'm pulling on you. Come on, I've got more for you. I've got a calling for your life. I've got a destiny for your life. Come on, what are you willing to put away? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to let go of to have more of Jesus? There's nothing else that's going to give you meaning. There's nothing else that's going to give you purpose. Come on, those fast cars and that good-paying job and those drugs and the marijuana and whatever else is not going to satisfy you ever. And you're going to end up at some age in your 40s or your 50s looking back at your life wondering, my God, what did I do with my life? I wasted time. I wasted potential. No, hear the voice of God talking to you now and say, hey, I'm giving you a second chance. I'm giving you a new chance. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done up until this point. God says, I've got more. I've got more. Come on, give yourself to me. Surrender yourself to me. Obey me. Obey my word and watch what I can do with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Spirit of God is already here and it's going to intensify in this place. And can I just tell you, if you're here and you need the Holy Ghost, and you're here and you were seeking the Holy Ghost this morning, you didn't receive all that you wanted to receive, can I tell you, the voice of God is speaking to you and telling you there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. You can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. I do not apologize for taking two services to reach after people's hearts. Amen. To pursue after people. Hallelujah. That's what God is wanting. That's the heartbeat of God. Oh, I can't get off of it. God's been chasing somebody, and God's been pulling somebody, and hallelujah. I wonder, will you hear his voice, and will you open up your heart, and will you let your heart be vulnerable to him? Will you let the ice that's formed around your heart melt a little bit And will you let him in? Will you let him go deeper? Will you be willing to say, yes, Lord, I agree. I will be whatever you want me to be. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Take all of me. Use every part of me. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will. Come on, somebody. This is a powerful church. God's already doing incredible things in and through this church. But there's some people, amen, that you have not yet tapped into the power and potential that God has for you in this church. Come on. Now is the time to say, thy will, not my will. Thy will be done for my life. Thy will be done for my life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my life and in Buford, Georgia, as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody, respond to the voice of God here tonight. Hallelujah. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much pleasure you pursue, you'll never be able to drown out the calling of God. Good luck, Jonah. Good luck. God will do whatever he's got to do. He's a gentleman. He won't force himself on you. He does allow people to choose eternity away from him. He does. But while we're on this earth, before you or I pass and before that trumpet blows, God is chasing, God is pulling, and God is pursuing. I'll never forget hearing a preacher tell a story one time. He's not from America. He's from another country, an impoverished country, a third world country. And he tells the story about how he one day came to America. He had always wanted to come to America. America being the land of promise and opportunity, of course, an imperfect place like every country, but certainly a place of more opportunity than the country he was dwelling in. And he had all these visions and fantasies about what America would be. And again, I'm very thankful I am able to live and have freedom of worship and freedom of religion, just like what we're exercising right now. But he said he had this ideal, and he said, you can know a lot about a country by its poets. And even Paul said, there's a point in the New Testament where he says, even as your own poets have said. So there's something about that. What the poets are saying can kind of represent the culture or the ideology or the feel of the country. Now, we don't have poets like they used to have, Shakespearean poets, but we have, you know, in many cases, unfortunately, singers and songwriters and celebrities that are up in the higher echelons of our culture. And this preacher who came from this war-torn, impoverished country said he remembered coming to this country and turned on the radio. And he was so shocked by the songs that came on the radio. Because again, you know a lot about a country by its poets. And he heard songs, whether it was rap or hip-hop or country music, it didn't matter the genre really. He heard songs of people singing about how depressed they were. He heard songs about people singing about how they want to take their own life, and songs about darkness, and songs about no hope, and songs that just about total emptiness. And these were all people that were multimillionaires. These were all people that had everything. These were all people, I mean, any boyfriend you could want, any girlfriend you could want, any car you could want. They had drug dealers on speed dial. I mean, all the things that the world tells you will satisfy you, they had all of it. And yet they were the ones singing and talking about how empty they were. And he said it was at that moment that he realized that meaninglessness does not come from being weary of pain. Meaninglessness comes from being weary of pleasure. Meaninglessness does not come from being weary of pain. Meaninglessness comes from being weary of pleasure. And that's why in our country that has the most abundance of pleasures also has some of the highest level of meaninglessness, also has some of the highest levels of suicide, because it turns out that earthly pleasures will not satisfy and you will become weary. You will become weary. Meaninglessness will come through the wearies of earthly pleasures. Hallelujah. This preacher went on, he went on to say, he said, you know, they struggled in his country. They struggled to find food. They struggled to find water. They struggled to find safety because they were in the middle of a war. He said, but there's one thing we never struggled with, and what we never struggled with was meaning. What we never struggled with was meaning. And here he comes to this first world nation, one of the most privileged and rich nations in the world. Amen. And everyone is talking about how depressed they are. That should be enough proof. Not everyone, but the singers, the songwriters, the celebrities. If you even ever hear any of their interviews, amen, they are normalizing darkness and normalizing depression. Hallelujah. And you listen to interviews that they've done, and they talk about all the things that they have and the things that they possess and how they still just don't know what the meaning is to life, and how the hits don't satisfy them, and the drugs don't satisfy them, and the relationships don't satisfy them. So why would you and I think that somehow we could go after the same things that they're going after and somehow we could be fulfilled? We need to read the writing on the wall. I don't know who I'm talking to. You need to read the writing on the wall. Listen to the people who possess all the earthly goods. Listen to them talk about how they're not satisfied. Maybe then you'll realize what a blessing that the house of God is. Maybe then you'll realize how incredible the presence of God is. Maybe then you'll realize, hey, I'm not going to pursue after things of the world, but I'm going to pursue after the things of God. I'm going to stop trying to drown out the voice of God with pleasure. I'm going to stop trying to drown out the voice of God with pleasure. And instead, I'm going to turn to him. I'm going to submit to him and say, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me. Oh, praise him right now. I gotta hurry. You know, it's amazing how far God will go to reach somebody. It blows my mind to see over my entire relatively short lifespan that God has never stopped pulling and God has never stopped tugging. You may not realize it right now, but you'll look back. If you give yourself to God, hindsight's 20/20, and you'll look back and realize he was always speaking and he was always tugging, even when you thought you were alone. How many people that used to live in the world, but you were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, can testify that when you looked back, you saw his handprints all over your life? You're not alone. God hasn't left you. He's been speaking to you this entire time. He's been trying to get your attention. I will never forget one time I was unfortunately living in the world, living away from God, risking being lost. It was the worst decision I made in my life, walking away from God. And in my teenage years, I lived away from him. And I'll never forget that my friend and I were, he was kind of my ride or die buddy, and we were driving down the road, and we both were high out of our minds. We both had taken several drugs before we got into the vehicle. He was driving, I was in the passenger seat, and we were sitting at a red light, about to go through a very busy, we weren't sitting at a red light. We were going down the road, and a red light was in front of us, right when there was a very busy intersection. And I'll never forget, we both knew what happened. We both blacked out at the same time while we were driving due to the drugs that we had taken. I'll never forget this. We blacked out, and we did not come to and wake up. When we did, our heads snapped up, and we looked at each other. We knew what had happened. And when we came back to out of the blackout, it was about probably a mile, maybe even more than a mile down the road. Now, keep in mind, while being completely blacked out, we drove through a red light at one of the busiest intersections where we live. We drove through a place where we should have ended up in a curb. We drove through a place where we should have ended up into several parked cars. We drove by this place where we should have ended up into a brick wall of a bar that was sitting there on the corner. But somehow, some way, we made it through all of that without a scratch on us. And I didn't realize it at the time, but later when I gave my life to God and I was wondering, God, where were you doing all that time? God started showing me. I was there that day when you blacked out in the truck and you should have been dead and you should have been in a hospital. But by my grace and by my mercy, even though you didn't deserve it, I saved you. I kept you on the road. I kept you between the lines. Come on. Don't tell me that the voice of God has not been speaking. Don't tell me that God hasn't been trying to get your attention. Don't tell me that God hasn't been pulling and tugging and speaking constantly to you. Oh, praise him again. I want the musician to come. John chapter 10, 4-5. The Bible says, and when he, being Jesus, puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. Verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, I can tell when I meet people if they are someone that's been listening to the voice of God or someone that's been listening to the voices of strangers. Once you become one of his sheep, I mean, once you really get in him and once you really get committed to him, you will come to know his voice. Thank God for that. But until then, you are only going to hear and know the voices of strangers. Until you come to know the voice of God, until you become truly one of his sheep where you instantly recognize his voice, you become one of those people that only know the voices of strangers. Can I just tell you, maybe the reason, I don't know, maybe the reason why you aren't happy or fulfilled right now is because the only voices that you know are the voices of strange people, strange ideas, strange voices, people and things who do not care about you the way God does. People who may have good intentions, but they keep leading you back to the same junk and the same cycles and the same traps over and over and over again. You say, why does that happen? Because they're strange voices. And you need advice, and I need advice. We all need advice. We all need counsel. But if you don't know the voice of God, all that you're going to have to listen to and hear is the voices of strangers. If you don't recognize the voice of God, you're going to continue to go toward those voices of strangers. That's why you see people who they're looking for marital advice and they don't know God, they don't know what to do, and they go and get advice, bad advice from somebody that's on their sixth or seventh marriage. A voice of a stranger. People trying to balance their checkbook and they go to get advice from somebody that has never balanced a checkbook and been in debt for 20 years and hasn't paid the IRS in 50 years. Bad advice, voices of strangers. It's the people that you want to do better. You want to do right. And then that text comes in on a Friday night. Says, why don't you come hang out again? Why don't you come to the party? Or why don't you come over to my house? We can hang out like we did last time. And you know exactly what's waiting for you. And you know exactly the sin that you're being drawn into. And there's a strange voice talking to you and pulling on you. But you don't know the voice of God. And so you just keep going back to that strange voice. And you go over on a Friday night and you wake up on Saturday morning hating yourself, despising yourself, wishing you wouldn't have done it. Wishing you wouldn't have gone back to the same old places over and over again. And you've just been listening to the strange voices, the voices of the world, the voices of deceitful ideologies that just keep you bound and keep you locked up. You've been listening to those same strange voices that tell you you'll never be good enough and you'll never be anything, so you might as well just stay and keep going to the club. You might as well just keep on smoking the pot. You might as well just keep on putting the needle in your veins. You might as well just do X, Y, and Z because you're never going to be good enough and you're never going to be better. Listen, that is the voice. That is a strange voice. That is an evil voice. That is not the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. God's trying to deliver you from the advice, from the voices of strangers, from the advice and the voices of people out there in the world that are only going to leave you broken, only going to leave you destitute and destroyed. You need to get to know the voice of God. He'll give you good advice. You need to get to know the voices of God communicated through men of God and through women of God, people of God that will love you and shelter you and take you in and actually give you some good advice. Young men that actually might have some good things to say and aren't going to lead you to the party. Young women that might have some good things to say and aren't going to lead you further into dysfunction. Hallelujah. God is wanting you to come to know his voice beginning tonight. Because once you know his voice, you will flee from the voices of strangers. You will run from that bad advice. You won't keep going back to it. You won't keep going back to, pardon the expression, but maybe that unkind or deadbeat boyfriend or girlfriend that is not helpful in any way, but just keeps pulling you back into dysfunction. You'll be able to run from that. You'll be able to see clearly. Your compass will be pointing true north, and you'll realize, that stuff's just going to hurt me. But this is going to help me. This is going to help me. This church is going to help me. And God wants to fill you with his spirit tonight to where you know he's on the inside and you know, the God of all creation has just entered into my heart and he's corrected my compass. He's forgiven me and he's fixed some things. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect because I'm human. None of us can be perfect. But now I can be obedient. Now I can be redeemed. Now I can walk in the light as he is in the light. Now I can walk in truth. And I don't have to keep on going to the voices of strangers. Hebrews 3 and 15 says, today, tonight, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Hear his voice today, sir. He's calling you, sir. He's tugging on you, ma'am. He's been reaching for you. And I know there's kind of a specific group that I'm preaching to, but I believe in some sense this can be for everybody because the voice of God has been trying to speak to multiple people of all different levels, letting you know that he wants to take you higher and he wants to take you deeper. The voice is not just for everyone else. It's for your sake. He's not just the God of Pastor or Bishop Copeland or Sister Copeland. He's your God too. He loves you too. He cares about you too. He's not just the God of the evangelist. He's your God too. I'm going to tell you this and then I'm going to conclude. And these altars are going to be open. And let me tell you that what's awesome about Pentecost and the power of God is you can preach about the voice of God or you can preach about tithing. It doesn't matter. When the Spirit of God and the presence of God comes into a place, anything can happen, and people can be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when I'm done with this sermon in just a very few short minutes, this altar is going to be open. And if you need the Holy Ghost, if you prayed this morning, I know there was some, at least one, that received it for the first time. We congratulate her. But if there was someone else you were praying and you have not yet received the Spirit of God, this altar is going to be open for you to respond to the voice of God, to pray again, and I believe God can fill you tonight. If you've never prayed, you've never received the Holy Ghost, this altar is going to be open. Come on, I'm going to invite you in just a few minutes. Don't miss your moment. God can do a miracle in your heart tonight. If you're here and you need to be renewed, and it's been a long time since you've allowed God to take over your heart, mind, and your tongue, then this altar is going to be open for you too. I'll never forget one of the most powerful experiences of seeing the voice of God in action. I'll never forget this in all my life, and I'm closing. I was transiting through the Dallas airport. I was flying to preach somewhere several years ago, and I had just enough time in my layover to, before I had to catch my flight, to grab a drink from a drink shop. And there was one lady in there. She was making the drinks. No one else was in there but me and her. I started talking to her, telling her what I wanted, and she just started opening her heart to me. She saw something in me that she could trust, and it wasn't me, it was the Holy Ghost. She didn't know anything about me. She didn't know I was a preacher, much less a one-God apostolic preacher. She didn't know nothing. And so she just started opening up to me, telling me some things about her life, and then she said, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to think I'm crazy. I said, try me. She said, sir, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I've been having dreams. And she said, the first part, I've been having this repetitively for weeks now. And she said, the first part of my dream is dark. It's heavy. I don't like it. She said, I want to wake up as quickly as I can. It's really, I can't even describe to you the things I see and what I feel. She said, but thankfully it doesn't last too long. And she said, I kind of wake up, or at least pseudo wake up, and then I kind of go back to sleep. She said, this has been happening over and over. She said, and then a second dream comes every time. She said, and this dream is the opposite of the first dream. It's not dark. It's full of light. It's full of joy. It's full of radiance. She says, this dream I don't ever want to wake up from. This dream I don't ever want to leave. And she says, you're going to think I'm crazy. But in this dream, with there's light all around me, joy, hope, and peace, she said, my God is my witness, I promise you. She said, in my dream, I see myself with my hands raised, with tears coming down my face. She said, my mouth and chin is trembling and stammering, and I'm speaking in a language that is not English. She says, God is my witness. God is my witness. She said, I'm speaking in a language that is not English. She said, and this dream is incredible. I, I don't know if that makes sense to you, she said, but I don't ever want to leave that dream. That dream's so incredible. And I said, ma'am, you don't even realize who you're talking to. I said, I am a preacher. Not only that, I'm an apostolic preacher. And I said, I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in what you described in your dream. And I said, ma'am, the God I serve is still a God who makes dreams come true. The God I serve is a God that can make your dream come true. You've come too late to tell me that the voice of God is not still speaking to people. You've come too late to tell me that God is not talking to people all around this world. Come on, the world is dreaming about what you and I take for granted. The world is dreaming about the Holy Ghost. God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking. God wants everybody to be filled with His Spirit. God wants everybody to know Him. God wants everybody to have the Holy Ghost. And if that's your dream, God can make your dream come true tonight. Somebody clap your hands and praise Him. There's already people coming. God bless you for your faith. God bless you for your honesty. Because some of us are new. Because this is different for some of us. Some of us, we've never experienced this. And I'm so glad the people that have already come. And I want you to stay in a spirit of prayer, but I want you to hear this preacher, all right? This is important. Stay in a spirit of prayer. Keep your eyes closed, but hear this preacher. If you need the Holy Ghost, you need a renewing, or God spoke to you specifically through this message, I'm inviting you to come to this altar right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come. If you need the Holy Ghost, come. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Here's what we're going to do. With our hands lifted all across this house, we're going to begin to repent of our sins. Come on, this is so important. You've got to open your mouth. You're praying from your heart, but it's coming from your mouth. You got to open your mouth and talk to Jesus and repent of your sins. You got to tell Him you're sorry of your sins. Come on, that's it. Just talk to Him. Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm sorry for the things I've said. I'm turning away from those things and I'm turning towards You. That's it. Just repent. All of us. I don't care if you've been going to church 50 years or 5 minutes. Come on, repent. Repent all over this house. That's it. Keep repenting. Keep praying. God's hearing your prayers. God's hearing your prayers. He's receiving it. And when we're done repenting, I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And we're going to lift our voices in faith and in worship to God. And God's going to do the work. Come on, that's it for a few more seconds. Jesus, here I am. Take all of me. I surrender to You. I submit myself to You, Jesus. That's it. You got to open your mouth and talk to Him. Come on. He won't force you to pray. If you want to receive more of God, you got to open your mouth and speak. Open your mouth and talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. That's it. Let Him hear your voice. Come on. In order for us to speak in tongues, we got to be speaking to God. That's it. That's it. Come on, that's it. God is here. God is here. That's it. God is here. God is here. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and then we're all going to lift our voices, and we're going to shout the name of Jesus, and we're going to shout the word hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive hope, receive peace, receive liberty. I bind doubt and I loose faith. I bind fear and I loose faith. I bind sickness and I loose healing. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues, lift your voice right now. Shout unto God, declare the word hallelujah, declare the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and shout, lift your voice and talk to God.
exist.
Hallelujah.